and welcome to Leith FM. My name's Tristan Davis, and I'm here in Holyrood to speak to Sarah Boyack, Member of the Scottish Parliament for Edinburgh Central. Good morning, Sarah.
Morning.
Now, you've been closely involved with the country of Burma in Southeast Asia. Why were you drawn to this area of the world?
I think when I was a student, I was always very struck by the injustice of Nelson Mandela being jailed and the fact that he had a non-violent resistance strategy like Gandhi. And I was drawn to Burma because when I heard about the situation in Burma, it's very similar, a government that hasn't been elected, they ignored the elections. There's over 2,000 political prisoners. The conditions in the prisons are absolutely appalling. It's got one of the worst health rates in the whole of the world. And you've got a dictatorship that's been in power since 1990 and has stopped aid getting to its people. So it's a massive injustice. And at the heart of that, you've got Aung San Suu Kyi, who has been in her house in prison for 14 of the last 21 years. Her history is inspiring. Her husband, who was English, died in Britain, and she didn't come back. She could have left house arrest to come back to see him in his dying days, but she knew she'd never be able to go back to her people in Burma. So she's an inspirational figure, and I just wanted to do what I could, use my position as an MSP to raise awareness about Burma and get people involved.
We're here today to focus on one key campaign in Burma, and it's called Break the Silence. What does this campaign aim to do?
Well, it's a very practical campaign. It's aimed at giving people in Burma access to radios, things that we would completely take for granted here. We have democratic access to the media, we've got freedom of association, freedom of speech. In Burma, you have none of those. So even having a radio will give people access to the outside world, because one of the things that the military junta do in Burma is they completely close down information, so people don't hear what's happening in the country. So by having a simple thing like a radio, they'll be able to get radio stations outside of Burma and find out what's happening and hear about campaigns that we are running for freedom in Burma.
Do you know what kind of information the radios will receive?
Well, my understanding is that people will actually just be able to tune into radio stations. So at the very basic level, they will find out what's happening. They'll hear about international campaigns, and they'll hear the truth about what's happening. Burma is a country where news is very strictly controlled, and it's quite a big country, but people don't know what's happening in different towns. So this will be a very powerful way to find out what's happening. The film Burma VJ, which came out last year, was a fantastic film because it enabled people in Burma to send a message out to us about what was happening. This will let us send the message back to Burma about what we're doing.
According to Amnesty International, the campaign is a lot more than just politics. What else do the people of Burma need in terms of information?
Well, when Cyclone Nargis hit Burma, it was a human tragedy because people didn't know what was happening. They didn't get advance notice of the cyclone. And in the clear-up operations afterwards, there was very little news. The government, even in that circumstance when the world was offering to help, controlled information and controlled aid very tightly. And in that kind of circumstance, radios would have let people get advance warning. It would have let them help organise the cleanup afterwards. So on a very human level, that knowledge that we take totally for granted will be something that people in Burma will now have. And it's not just that there are over 2,000 radios, I think 2,327. Those radios aren't just going to go to one person. Communities will be able to cluster around radios, and remote villages will get information for the first time. So I think it's a fantastic liberation that's going to come to those people.
On the Amnesty International website, there have been criticisms of the campaign. These include where the money is going to, why is it so expensive, it's £12 per radio, will the radios be used to build up revolts, I want to buy wind-up radios as they're more environmentally friendly, and the practical difficulties of getting replacement batteries in Burma. One person also highlighted the risk from the government to those caught using the radios. What's your response to these views?
Well, I trust Amnesty International. It's a well-established credible charity. It was their judgment as to how they wanted to take the radios in and what kind of radios to get in. I know that with the amount of money they've been able to raise, they've also been able to get satellite phone technology into Burma. So as a long-term environmental campaigner, I would love to see more wind-up radios going in across all the developing countries. But I think it's a start, and I certainly wouldn't want criticisms to hold back people from supporting this fantastic campaign.
I think one person mentioned that if they managed to get 3,000 wind-up radios, the Burmese government would suspect that something was going wrong. One person highlighted that battery radios are more subtle.
Yeah, it's a judgment Amnesty have made, and you know, I take their judgment as being the right one. In other countries, wind-up radios have been fantastic, as you say, because batteries aren't required. But I think in Burma, we've got to make sure that we get it right and we don't put people at risk.
Sure.
So if it's something that can go under the radar screen, like the journalists in Burma VJ, the video journalist, then that's fantastic. And it's a difficult place to operate in. Even though there are remote communities, certainly in the main towns, the government have a very tight clampdown on ordinary citizens. And they are fearful for their lives. They're fearful.
You mentioned the award-winning documentary called Burma VJ. It was released last year, giving a number of first-hand video accounts of the uprising in 2007. What effect has the film had on the campaign in Burma?
Well, I think it's enabled people in the West and in other countries where we have press freedom to see this film. And in my view, it worked as a fantastic thriller, but it was for real. And it really brought home the danger that people experience every day in Burma. But the video journalists themselves, I thought, were incredibly brave. They had to smuggle the videos out to Norway. So I think it showed what life is really like in Burma. Child labour is rife. Children are conscripted into the army. There's no press freedom. And many, many people, particularly journalists and students and political activists, are put in jail and their lives are at risk. And people are still sentenced to death. So it is a horrific regime. I thought as a way of communicating to those of us who live in a free world what really happens in Burma, it was a fantastic, fantastic piece of work.
Even from an artistic point of view, I think it's Ostergaard, the gentleman who made the film in Denmark, and also the guys doing the films themselves in Burma, it was quite an exciting film. It was quite sort of seat-of-your-pants stuff. So even from that perspective, it's a great film in itself. This year will be the first election in Burma for over 20 years. As having campaigned an election yourself, how important is it for politicians to get in contact with the electorate with modern technology?
I think it's a fantastic opportunity for people. I mean, I have a website, I do video blogs. I keep them short, but I do video blogs, and I also have articles that I put up on it regularly. And I think it's a very accessible way for people to find out what we're up to, particularly for young people who do almost everything on the internet or mobiles. It makes it more accessible. There's nothing to beat the traditional leaflet, because not everybody's going to have internet, and you need to get out in the streets as well. But I think more and more we're thinking about how we can use modern communications much more effectively and draw people into politics and let them know the good things we do, because our stock is not the highest. So anything we can do to actually communicate practical things and campaigns like this is a really good way to get people involved in something practical where they can make a difference. Nelson Mandela would not have been freed if there hadn't been a global campaign. And I think ultimately freedom for Aung San Suu Kyi and for people in Burma will come when pressure is put on the government that they cannot sustain opposition to.
I noticed also that the Burmese government are actually clamping down on the election campaigns in Burma. They're stopping street demonstrations, stopping any form of campaigning by opposition parties. So the radio campaign is very important in terms of getting things past that kind of barriers.
Absolutely. I mean, the last time when they had free and democratic elections in 1990, Aung San Suu Kyi's party, the National League for Democracy, won 80% of the vote. So after 20 years of oppression, it'll be quite a test, both for the Burmese government, who, as you say, are clamping down and restricting people's rights to have a fair and free election. So I hope that United Nations, our own government, will be pressing very hard for free and fair elections, because after 20 years, the Burmese people deserve something better.
We lodged a motion here in Holyrood for awarding the leader of the opposition in Burma, Aung San Suu Kyi, the freedom of the city of Edinburgh. However, she's been under arrest in Rangoon for 14 years. What are the prospects for Suu Kyi's release?
Every now and again, the Burmese government lets it be known that they might be releasing her, although she's under house arrest. But she's never been released, and the only time that they will let her go is if she doesn't come back. So we're looking very much to these next elections to hope that she might be able to stand. The last time she stood, her party won 80% of the vote, and yet the military junta stayed in power. So these elections are really crucial. And I do hope that in the West, we can lobby through our own government, through the United Nations, to make sure these elections are as fair as possible. Because the evidence at the moment is that the military are locking people up and they have a clampdown on other political opponents. So it's going to be a very difficult time for people in Burma.
There's another campaign. The Burma Educational Trust have developed links between Leith and Burma by creating the Global Schools Partnership Programme. This has been continuing between Fourth View Primary School and a refugee school on the Thailand-Burma border. How important are these links?
Well, they're symbolic. For the people in the Thai-Burmese border who are exiles and refugees from Burma, access to school education is absolutely fundamental. In any country, access to education for kids is crucial. But we've got three schools in the Lothians area. There's Fourth View, there's Purney Hall, and now there's Campy in East Lothian. And those schools have got a practical link with teacher and pupil contact. We were talking earlier about communications. It's now possible to email kids back and forward. It's not always available, but that's possible. Speaking to a friend who's involved in BEST, and she's just spent time on the border in Dr. Cynthia's clinic at Mae Tau, and she's been talking to people there and providing support. It's not just a one-way them learning from us, it's also us learning from them. The teachers, the experience the teachers have in teaching in schools with virtually no resources, with children who may be traumatised, kids of refugees. The school beside Dr. Cynthia's clinic, which is twinned with Campy in East Lothian, it's a school predominantly with orphans and children escaping child labour or being conscripted into the army. So giving those children a good start in life is fantastic, and it's really important. And the practical link, we've already had schools linked with African schools for the last few years in Edinburgh, but I think it's very exciting, the Thai-Burmese border link. Those schools are absolutely fundamentally important for the future of Burma, because in a country that's had appalling educational standards and little access to decent education, having the next generation with skills and with knowledge will be absolutely crucial when Burma becomes a democracy, as I really fervently hope it will in the future.
I remember having pen pals many years ago when I was in school, and it was all by letter. It was all sort of quite a slow process getting in touch with your pen pal from Germany or from France. And it's quite amazing these days, all by email, so they can have quite a close relationship, really, like even on a daily basis. The world's getting a smaller place.
Absolutely. Well, Sheila Lang, who's just come back, has been one of the stalwarts in making that practical link between schools. She's a head teacher, and it shows schools there that we are interested. And one of the exciting projects that BEST was able to support was the artist Chris Robinson taught kids both here and in Burma, and they exchanged artworks.
Oh, wonderful.
And artworks coming from the Burmese kids was absolutely inspirational. And art can be a very powerful way of people expressing themselves. And their pictures were both beautiful and moving at the same time. So that's been an important link. The other thing we've been doing in BEST, in the Burma Educational Scholarship Trust, is funding students into higher education and college. And we've now had about 50 students, I think, in the last few years have come through. We've been able to part fund their courses. And we've had a couple of students in Scotland. So I feel that's a very practical way to support people in Burma.
Do you know what kind of things they're studying?
All sorts of courses. And our criteria is that they will one day be able to go back to Burma and add value to their society.
Sure.
So we've been particularly keen to see courses about community education, nursing, teaching. It's meant that students who otherwise under the military dictatorship would not have got access to higher education, they're getting training in Southeast Asia and other countries, and it's giving them an opportunity they wouldn't otherwise have had.
We're now at the beginning of the Fringe Festival, which celebrates comedians from all over the world. Unfortunately, a popular comedian in Burma called Zargana is serving a 35-year prison sentence for criticising the government for its handling of the cyclone which hit Burma in 2008. The Amnesty website invites people to write to the Burmese government requesting the release of Zargana. What effect, if any, does letter writing have on such a regime?
Well, it shows that we're watching and that we're listening and that we are appalled by the treatment of their citizens. And if we're going to build up international support for tackling the Burmese government, then limiting their access to funds, making them an international pariah, that will help in the long run. And it sends a message to ordinary people in Burma that we care and that we're listening. So I hope that your listeners will think about going along to the Stand Up For Freedom event. It's a practical way for us to support people in Burma, raise funds, and just bring to people's attention just how shocking it is that for making humorous remarks, you could be locked up for 35 years. So I hope Edinburgh people will come out in their droves to support Amnesty International's concert and think about what they can do. Is it writing to their MP, writing directly to the government in Burma, but making their voice heard? For a very, very small effort, we can use our freedom to gain people in Burma freedom. That's one of Chi Chi's comments, and I think it's a fantastic way to put it, using our freedom to secure freedom in Burma.
Can you tell us more about the event that Amnesty International will be staging?
Well, check it out on the Fringe website, go online and just look up Amnesty. They've done this in the last few years and there have been events in the Book Festival as well. And I think culture is a very powerful way where we can enjoy our own freedom and celebrate fantastic work that's been done. But it has an edge to it, as a very sharp edge. Films like Burma VJ or Zoya Phan's book, her autobiography, or the book that's just been released called Everything is Broken. These are very powerful ways to communicate to fellow Scots.
Sure.
That they should get involved. And I hope people will join it. I think Freedom of the City had a fantastic impact on the movement in Burma. They were just so delighted that we were remembering them.
Many of the listeners will not know what life's like in Southeast Asia. What are the surrounding countries like in that part of the world?
They're beautiful. I haven't visited them all myself. I've certainly been to Thailand, and in the last couple of years they've had political challenges, but they're much more free than Burma. And I suppose the challenge is internationally to get countries to work together, those countries that border on Burma. And that's where the European Union or our own government, or getting America to speak out, that can be very powerful. Pressure on Burma's neighbours. But it's a part of the world that is absolutely beautiful. It's experienced some of the horrific experiences in the past, wars, dictatorships, brutal dictatorships. But the people are friendly. Any of the Burmese people I've met are incredibly soft-spoken. It makes you think about people in the Highlands, actually. And I think there are different cultures within Burma, different races within Burma, and yet they all work very strongly together for their freedom. So I think it's a fascinating part of the world, but personally I wouldn't go to Burma as a tourist, because you're visiting a regime that benefits from the tourism industry, and that money does not reach ordinary people. We can't yet go there, but we can be in touch by telecommunications. The more people have radios, the more people have access to the internet. Even though it's illegal in Burma, they can find out that we're interested in them. So I hope I hope people will be interested enough, having listened to our conversation, to get involved themselves, whether it's to join a lobby organisation like Amnesty, or to write letters, or to go to the show and the festival. But get interested. The more you know about Burma, the more shocking it is. And I think for most people, when they hear about what's really happening, it's going to make them want to do something.
You mentioned the internet being a problem in Burma. It was after the campaign in 2007... the demonstrations, they actually closed down the internet, didn't they?
Yeah. So one of the things we can do is to lobby internet companies here, sure, not to cooperate with the government. And with satellite technology and with digital technology, it becomes harder, all the more harder to actually clamp down. So we've got to try and use these new technologies to give people their freedom. And for me, that was what caught my imagination. Having watched Burma VJ, I thought, well, if I can play a part in letting one small community hear what's happening and feel more free, even if in their day-to-day lives they're oppressed, sure, that's something that we could do here. That's quite powerful.
Thank you, Sarah Burke, for speaking to the people of Leith FM, and good luck with all your campaigns on behalf of the people of Burma.
Many thanks.